When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
Off to see the Wizard on today's episode of Broadway to Main Street. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for that selfsame show here at 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, emanating out of the crisp hamlet of Southampton, New York, where the leaves are almost starting to fall from the trees. Well, that was Shorty Rogers. Was he the official jazz musician of Munchkinland? I've no idea. But today we are going to Oz. To Oz, yes, a whole hour dealing with The Wizard of Oz in various musicals and various musical forms. And I could not be happier than to see the wizard himself, our good friend David Garrison, Tony-nominated actor, Broadway and concert favorite. And I would say welcome to the show, David, but actually you're on the show every week because listeners may not know that you are the official voice of Broadway to Main Street in our theme song.
I am?
You are.
That's me. You know, I heard the theme song. That's a wonderful voice. I wonder who that guy is. I'm so pleased to know that it's me. Thank you.
It's amazing what we can do with knobs and dials these days. But we're very happy to have you here because David played the wizard in Wicked. He started the First National Tour, played it for a year and a half on Broadway, and I think has done almost as many performances of the wizard as Channing did of Dolly. A few less.
Maybe just a few, yeah. But luckily, I can grow into the role the older I get, so there may be some more in the future. I don't know.
Well, I think you're full of magic, David. And, of course, The Wizard of Oz, which we heard that music from at the beginning, was the classic 1939 MGM film, which sort of spun the whole thing out. Let's have a little bit of music from the actual composer, Harold Arlen, who wrote the great music, lyrics by Yip Harburg, and a pal of his by the name of Barbara Streisand.
Once there was a wicked witch in the lovely land of Oz, and a wickeder, wickeder, wickeder witch there never, ever was. She filled the folks in Munchkin Land with terror and with dread, till one fine day from Kansas a house fell on her head, and the coroner pronounced her dead. And through the town the joyous news went running, the joyous news that the wicked old witch was finally done in. Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Witch, oh witch.
Well, the wicked witch.
Oh.
Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead.
Oh, happy day.
Wake up, you sleepy head.
Rub your eyes.
Get out of that bed. Wake up, the wicked witch is dead.
She's gone where the goblins go. Below, below, below your let's open up and sing.
And ring those bells out.
Sing the news out.
Ding dong, the merry O. Sing it high and sing it low. Let them know the wicked old witch is dead.
Why, everyone's glad she took such a crowning.
Getting hit by a house is even worse than drowning.
Let them know the wicked old witch is dead.
That's pretty rockin'. So, David, in knowing you as the astute actor and performer you are, you pretty much delved pretty deeply into the Oz story before tackling this project. Can you sort of give us a background of L. Frank Baum and what this story might have been about and what it might be?
Well, you know, he's an interesting guy. He grew up in a fairly well-to-do family in upstate New York. His dad, I think, made barrels for the Pennsylvania oil trade, which was a big deal back in the late 19th century. So he grew up pretty well-heeled and was always interested in the theater and in children's stories. And his dad bought him a theater in a town called, I think, Richburg, which...
aptly named.
Aptly named, yeah. And he put on plays there and, in fact, wrote a musical. It was a play called The Maid of Arran. And he produced this in 1880 in his 20s, as we all do. We all write musicals in our 20s. Right. And it was sort of a prototypical musical in that it had songs that he wrote that applied to the story. And he got more and more and more interested in this. He began writing children's stories, and later in life he began to publish them. Some of them were modest successes, and then in 1900 came The Wizard of Oz. And he based these stories on stories that he would tell his children when he came home from being a traveling salesman. So interesting that the wizard himself is a traveling salesman.
Right.
And he was encouraged by his relatives to put these in print, and eventually he came up with the big one, which was The Wizard of Oz.
And there were how many sequels that he had a hand in?
Oh, gosh. He wrote seven and then said he would never do it again. And, of course, he ran into financial problems and wrote more.
Like Conan and Doyle and Sherlock
exactly.
Holmes.
And then after his death, there are even more Oz stories written in the, in the
so
series.
So it's obviously he tapped into something pretty primal, which people keep exploiting.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This archetype that we know that Dorothy discovers of the straw man, the tin man, and the lion... These are, he had various other kind of archetypes that sort of play through in different stories, or these are the three main ones and the most potent ones. Well, it could even be the road to the White House. We have people who don't have brains, who don't have hearts, and don't have nerve. So let us go to some takes from the 1939 film. This is the four freshmen who do a great job, Susanna McCorkle, and then, of course, to the film itself.
I could while away the hours conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. Yeah. Well, I'd unravel any riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain. And with the thoughts I'd be thinking I could be another Lincoln if I only had a brain. Oceans near the shore, and I could think of things I'd never thought before, and then I'd sit and think some more. Well, I would not be just a nothing, and my head all full of stuffing, and my heart all filled with pain. I could dance and be merry, life would be a ding-a-dairy if I only had a brain.
Thank you. I'd never thunk before. And then I'd sit and think some more. Well, I would not be just a nothing. My head all full of stuffing and my heart all filled with pain. I could dance and be merry, and life would be a ding-a-dairy. And perhaps I deserve you and be even worthier of you. If I only had a brain, 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 even half a brain would do. Give me just enough to think about you. I could while away the hours conferring with the flowers. The thoughts that I'd be thinking, I could be another Lincoln. Everything I'd see would make sense to me. Everywhere I'd go, I could find my way back home.
When a girl's an empty kettle, she should be on her mettle. And yet I'm torn apart, just because I'm presuming that I could be kinda human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle and awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy that shoots the arrows if I only had a heart. Picture me, a balcony above, a voice sings low. Wherefore art thou, Romeo? I hear a beat. How sweet, just to register emotion. Jealousy, devotion, and really feel the part. I would stay young and chipper, and I'd lock it with a zipper if I only had a heart. If I only had a heart.
Yeah, it's sad, believe me, missy, when you're born to be a sissy without the feminine vibe. But I could show my prowess, be a lion, not a mouse, if I only had the nerve. I'm afraid there's no denying I'm just a dandelion, a fate I don't deserve. I'd be brave as a blizzard.
I'd be gentle as a lizard.
I'd be clever as a gizzard.
If the wizard is a wizard, who will serve?
Then I'm sure to get a brain,
a heart,
a home,
the knife.
Oh, we're off to see the wizard. The wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is the Wizard of a Wiz, if ever a Wiz there was. If ever
sorrow ever a wizard was, the Wizard of Oz has won. Because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
This is Larry Maslon, and I'm very lucky because I'm seeing the Wizard right now. I'm seeing David Garrison in our studio, the Tony-nominated actor who played the Wizard for almost 1,400 performances in Wicked, and we're talking about the wonderful Wizard of Oz. So, David, I'm going to throw you a curveball. When is the first time you saw the movie, and what is your memory of it?
I don't know the answer to that question. Obviously, I was a youngster sitting in front of the television set at home, and I think probably it was that time of your life when you think, oh, I got to do that.
Right.
So I think it was probably part of my own slippery slope down the yellow brick road to show business.
There
I am.
And the pre-VCR days, you had to wait till I think either Thanksgiving or Christmas for it to come on CBS.
And I think I had to imagine that it was a yellow brick road because it was probably a black and white television.
Yeah, so it went from black and white to black and white.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember Downey Fabric Softener offering little Wizard of Oz puppets, and I made my mother, I think, buy like 18 bottles of Downey Fabric Softener. Anyway, we all love The Wizard of Oz, the movie, but here's a great number I've always loved that was cut from it, called The Jitterbug. It was considered to be too long and too extraneous to the plot, but what a great Harold Arlen Yip Harburg tune.
Did you just hear what I just heard?
That noise don't come from no ordinary bird.
It may be just a cricket or a critter in the trees.
It's given me the jitters and the joints around my knees. Oh, I think I see a jijik, and he's fuzzy and he's furry. I haven't got a brain, but I think I ought to worry. I haven't got a heart, but I got a palpitation. This is Monica the Forest. I don't like the situation.
Are you going to stand around and let him fill us full of horror?
I'd like to roar him down. But I think I lost my roarer.
It's a Hoosis.
It's a Hoosis?
It's a Watsis.
It's a Watsis?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that? Who's that hiding in the treetops? It's that rascal, the Jitterbug. Should you catch him buzzing round you, keep away from the Jitterbug. And the bees and the breeze and the trees have a terrible, horrible buzz. But the bats and the bees and the breeze and the trees couldn't do what the jitterbug does. So be careful of that rascal. Keep away from
the jitterbug. Oh, the jitter. Oh, the bug. Oh, the jitter. Come, in a twitter. In the throat.
All the critters got to be dancing on a thousand toes.
Ah, she blows!
Thank you.
Jitterbug cut from the film of Wizard of Oz. Now, David, when you were playing the Wizard in Wicked, you had some dancing cut as well.
Well, yeah, I have an analogous story to that. It seems like dance breaks are considered extraneous in the Land of Oz.
The merry old Land of Oz.
When the show was originally conceived, there was a dance break for Elphaba and the Wizard in the number Wonderful, which is the Wizard's number in Act Two. There had always been an artistic debate going on within the creative team on the show as to whether it made sense and it was justifiable dramaturgically for Elphaba to dance with the Wizard at that point. Because he has, in fact, betrayed her confidence, so why would she all of a sudden start dancing with him? So this was an object of some discussion for a while. And then when the show was eventually restaged in London, they decided to take out the dance break. And so I was the last wizard to ever dance.
And did you enjoy dancing it?
I loved it.
Yes.
It was great.
Audiences loved you doing it. Yeah, well, clearly The Wizard of Oz has such a large umbrella in American popular culture. And in the 70s, they sort of wouldn't let it die. And there was a film animated version, which never, I think it made it, it didn't even have video then. It just like got dumped on like some Sunday afternoon somewhere in Buffalo, called Journey Back to Oz. And I wouldn't be playing anything from it at all, except the score was by Jimmy Van Heusen and Sammy Kahn, no slouches. And Liza Minnelli, of all people, plays the voice of Dorothy. So here is a not bad song, clearly written in the Over the Rainbow vein from the film Journey Back to Oz.
They don't believe me, Toto. They don't believe in the Land of Oz. But you and I know better, don't we? Far from this gray Kansas prairie, there's a magic land that's colorful and gay. A land where wonderful things happen. And you know, Toto, sometimes I wish I could go back there. Oh, just for a little while. Just so I could see all my friends again.
There's a faraway land, a faraway land, where daydreams and wishes and rainbows are planned. Twice as far as a star may seem, or as close as the ripples in a stream. Should a faraway look come into your eye, just hop on the first candy cloud that comes by. Trade your dreary world for a cheery world where the skies are all pink and that staraway land, that faraway land, where rainbows and wishes and daydreams are blue. I wish, oh, I wish we could go back. Don't you?
Well, thankfully, Journey Back to Oz was not the last bend in the Yellow Brick Road. There was an extraordinary 1975 musical which changed Broadway. It brought black audiences to Broadway for the first time in, golly, 40 years. The Wiz, and one of the few chances we'll ever get to hear Michael Jackson on Broadway to Main Street. Here is Michael Jackson and Diana Ross from the film version, Easing Down the Road.
Ease on down. Ease on down the road. Ease on down. Ease on down the road. Ease on down, ease on down the road. <Ta-da>. Come on, Dorothy, don't you carry nothing.
When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. I wish I was home, I wish I was back there with the things I've been knowing. When that makes the tall grass bend into leaning, suddenly the raindrops that fall have a meaning, sprinkling the scene, makes it all clean. Maybe there's a chance for me to go back now that I have some direction. It sure would be nice to be back home where there's love and affection. And just maybe I can convince time to slow up, giving me enough time in my life to grow up.
Stephanie Mills from The Wiz, and I think Stephanie Mills is joining the cast of this live performance of The Wiz, the first week of December on television, Queen Latifah, and a lot of other people. So The Wizard of Oz, we would think, well, okay, that was it. No one needs to reinvent The Wizard of Oz even one more time as a musical. But in 2003, we were proved wrong with perhaps the most successful version yet.
Yeah. And like The Wiz, which, by the way, got not so great notices and almost closed. You know, The Wiz almost closed after opening night. But I think 20th Century Fox had money in it, and they put a TV commercial out, which was rare in
that, one of the first.
That day and age, and featuring Ease On Down the Road. And it turned the box office around. It wound up running 4 years and winning 7 Tonys, including Best Musical. And by the way, do you know Felicia Rashad was a munchkin?
I did not know that.
In The Wiz on Broadway.
My, how she's grown.
Yes, indeed. And then comes along Wicked, the biggest blockbuster of all time, which again was a little rough out of the starting gate, and then turned into this incredible hit. And I was thrilled every night to be a part of it. It's as close to being in a rock concert and being a rock star as I'll ever get. The audiences embraced it and continue to embrace it in a way it's just remarkable.
I think at one point it was making something like $8 million a week worldwide, which is...
I wouldn't be surprised.
Movies don't do that.
No.
So let's hear...
I believe this is right, that as a property, because Universal Pictures has the lion's share of the original stake in the show...
As it were.
no pun intended. It has earned more as a single property than any other Universal property ever And
that would include Frankenstein.
And that would include the theme parks.
Wow. Okay, so let's hear from Kristen Chenoweth how, in fact, popular Wicked is.
Elfie, now that we're friends, I've decided to make you my new project.
You really don't have to do that.
I know. That's what makes me so nice. Whenever I see someone less fortunate than I, and let's face it,
who isn't?
Less fortunate than I, my tender heart tends to start to bleed. And when someone needs a makeover, I simply have to take over. I know exactly what they need. And even in your case, though it's the toughest case I've yet to face, don't worry, I'm determined to succeed. Follow my lead, and yes, indeed, you will be popular. You're gonna be popular. I'll teach you the proper poise when you talk to boys. Little ways to flirt and flounce. Ooh, I'll show you what shoes to wear, how to fix your hair. Everything that really counts to be popular. I'll help you be popular. You'll hang with the right cohorts. You'll be good at sports. Know the slang you've got to know. So let's start, 'cause you've got an awfully long way to go. Don't be offended by my frank analysis. Think of it as personality dialysis. Now that I've chosen to become a policy sister and advisor, there's nobody wiser. Not when it comes to popular. I know about popular. And with an assist from me to be who you'll be, instead of dreary who you were, well, are, there's nothing that can stop you from becoming popular. Lar. I remind them on their own behalf to think of celebrated heads of state or specially great communicators. Did they have brains or knowledge? Don't make me laugh. They were popular. Please, it's all about popular. It's not about aptitude. It's the way you're viewed. So it's very shrewd to be very, very popular.
Elphaba, look at you. You're beautiful.
I have to go.
You're welcome. And though you protest your disinterest, I know clandestinely you're gonna grin and bear it, your newfound popularity.
This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and I'm in our little behind the curtain here with David Garrison, one of my favorite performers ever, who played the wizard in Wicked for, I don't know, over 1,400 performances, Broadway, national tour. So now we're getting to your song, now we're getting to the wizard. So I'm sure you have some sage things to say. And that big, I don't think you have anything for me in that big bag, Mr. Wizard.
You know, I grew to love this guy a lot. You know, he was a decent enough fellow that of limited ability, but considerable charm, who finds himself in a place of great power and prestige, and then realizes that the only way he can hold on to that power is to promote the politics of fear. And this, of course, it's pretty
somewhat resonant, today.
Resonant for our life and times, yeah. As it was back when L. Frank Baum originated the story. By the way, do you know where the name Elphaba in Wicked comes from?
Yes, I do.
Well, then tell us.
It's the initials of L. Frank Baum, is it not?
Elphaba from L. Frank Baum, yes. Gregory Maguire's invention from his book.
I'll take Oz Trivia for 400.
Very nicely done. You know, Wicked is an incredibly successful idea as a musical. Winnie Holtzman and Stephen Schwartz were so smart to take a piece of Maguire's book, which is a very dark political satire, and concentrate on the story of the two witches as adolescents. So there's a big audience right there. I mean, how smart is that? There's one prom queen in high school, and everybody else is the green girl.
Or boy, as the case may be.
You know, it's a love story. It's a buddy story. It's a parable about prejudice, and it's a cautionary tale about the politics of fear. And it's also, for the adults in the audience, this whole Rosencrantz and Guildenstern version of The Wizard of Oz, because they get to sit out there and connect the dots backward and figure out what was happening, you know, in the movie that you don't see.
It's interesting because I'm bringing Miles. My 7-year-old son is seeing it Friday, and he's never seen The Wizard of Oz, the movie. So I'd be very curious. Is there anybody out there who doesn't know The Wizard of Oz? But there must be a few.
Well, you know, the story stands on its own, but the adults are getting an extra treat and thinking of themselves as oh so clever by figuring out, you know, some of the connect. Oh, that's where the ruby slippers came from. Oh, the ruby slippers, by the way. That is something that is in the movie and is copyrighted because they were silver shoes in the book, and they were only turned into ruby slippers because Technicolor was brand new and they wanted to show off what it could do.
Interesting. Well, let us hear the Clever Wizard song. Wonderful. This is Joel Gray from Wicked.
I never asked for this or planned it in advance. I was merely blown here by the winds of chance. I never saw myself as a Solomon or Socrates. I knew who I was, one of your dime a dozen mediocrities. Then suddenly I'm here, respected, worshipped even, just because the folks in Oz needed someone to believe in. Does it surprise you I got hooked and all too soon? What can I say? I got carried away, and not just by balloon. Wonderful. They called me wonderful, so I said wonderful, if you insist. I will be wonderful, and they said wonderful. Believe me, it's hard to resist, 'cause it feels wonderful. They think I'm wonderful. Hey, look who's wonderful. This corn-fed hick who said it might be keen to build a town of green and a wonderful road of yellow brick. See, I never had a family of my own, so I guess I just wanted to give the citizens of Oz everything.
So you lied to them.
Elphaba, where I'm from, we believe all sorts of things that aren't true. We call it history. A man's called a traitor or liberator. A rich man's a thief or philanthropist. Is one a crusader or ruthless invader? It's all in which label is able to persist. There are precious few at ease with moral ambiguities, so we act as though they don't exist. They call me wonderful, so I am wonderful. In fact, it's so much who I am, it's part of my name, and with my help, you can be the same. At long, long last, receive your due, long overdue. Elphaba, the most celebrated
are the rehabilitated. There'll be such a whoop-de-doo, a celebration throughout Oz that's all to do with you. Wonderful, they'll call you wonderful.
It does sound wonderful.
Trust me, it's fine when you are wonderful. It would be wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful.
Elphaba, why couldn't you have stayed calm for once, instead of flying off the handle?
I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy now. I hope you're happy how you hurt your paws forever. I hope you think you're clever.
I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy too. I hope you're proud how you would grovel in submission to feed your own ambition.
So though I can't imagine how.
Right now,
Elfie, listen to me. Just say you're sorry.
You can still be with the wizard, what you've worked and waited for. You can have all you ever wanted.
I know,
but I don't want it.
No.
I can't want it anymore. Something has changed within me. Something is not the same. I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game. Too late for second guessing. Too late to go back to sleep. It's time to trust my instincts, close my eyes, and leap. It's time to try to find. You can't pull me down.
Can't I make you understand? You're having delusions of grandeur.
I'm through accepting limits, 'cause someone says they're so. Some things I cannot change, but till I try, I'll never know. Too long I've been afraid of losing love, I guess I lost. Well, if that's love, it comes at much too high.
Come with me. Think of what we could do together.
Unlimited. Together we're unlimited. Together we'll be the greatest team there's ever been. Glinda, dreams the way we planned them.
If we work in tandem, there's no fight we.
I hope you're happy now.
that you're choosing this.
You too.
I hope it brings you bliss. I really hope you get it and you don't live to regret it. I hope you're happy in the end. I hope you're happy, my
Idina Menzel from Wicked. Now, I remember the first time I saw that in previews, I got it. I was like, oh, I get it now. If you have an amazing voice, you can act through this kind of material. It was like seeing a laser beam, like pinpoint the Death Star. It was quite extraordinary.
It still is. You know, in my final performance, the stage crew let me ride her broom.
Wow.
They had to test it every night, but they usually test it with sandbags. But my final performance, they let me ride that thing. And
that
let me tell you,
a sweeping moment.
That will make you sing like that if you take a ride on that thing. Woo.
Wow.
But that number, I mean, it sums up everything that the show intends to be. But in fact, it's probably more than anything else a feminist allegory. When you think about it, anyone with real power in Oz, Dorothy and the witches, are all women. And the men are, you know, lacking in courage and brains and in heart.
And ethics, I suppose. So the word empowerment is not a word I particularly like. I don't think it exists. But he clearly was dealing with issues about, what do you say, being able to make the most out of yourself. And here we have from the film version of The Wiz, the wonderful Lena Horne, who probably was on the MGM lot practically when the original was being made, singing Believe in Yourself.
If you believe within your heart, you know that no one can change the path that you must go. And know you're right, because the time will come around when you'll say it's yours. Believe that you can go home. Believe you can feel the air. Your heels three times. If you believe, oh, then you'll be there.
Korn, empowering people everywhere. I want to thank my guest, David Garrison, the wonderful David Garrison from Wicked. So anything you'd like to wrap up in terms of the appeal of The Wizard of Oz?
I just want to thank you for letting me come out from behind the curtain and play for a little bit. My pleasure. I'll come back next week and sing your theme song. How's that?
That would be great, because we have some surprises with our theme song. All right, here's a song you've all been waiting for. It's Judy Garland singing Over the Rainbow, but this is a wonderful radio version in which she's accompanied by the composer Harold Arlen. I don't think there's a better take on this classic song. Thank you, David, for joining us on our journey to Oz. The time all gone to. This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.